And we find in chapter 3, he's a building man. Chapter 5, he's a bewildered man. Chapter 4, he's a buffeted man. Can you imagine, and only God can do this, to take a butler and make a builder out of him? But he had to have a burden. I looked the word burden up. It means a spiritual broken heart. If a burden only lasts through the night, you never had a burden to start with. I'm afraid we've got too many people in our pulpits across America today that does not have a burden. Oh God, break our heart. That we might see our children and grandchildren back at the house of God. I am convinced that a lot of reason that people won't come is because what they see out of so-called Christians in our day and time. But God help us that we'd live a life that somebody would want what I got. Oh Lord, how we need in our day and time people with a burden for lost people. But I do not find Nehemiah looking out and praying for lost people. Nehemiah's petition was based on two things. It was based on the people of God. He said, tell me about the Jews. That was his kinfolk. That was his brethren. People that he'd been raised up around. He'd been in captivity most of his life. For 14 years he carried this burden. He couldn't get away from him. And God kept it on him. And it takes more than one to see a burden carried out. Nehemiah had some help. Just because God didn't show it to you don't mean the man of God's not burdened tonight. I know some of these fellers, some folks will say, well, I don't see it that way. Well, God didn't show it to you, reason you don't see it that way. Wait till God shows it to you, but you ought to have enough confidence in the man of God. You tell when his burden has loaded him down and he needs help, and there's times that you and I need to move up under him and scotch him up and hold him up and let him know, hey, we in this thing together. God help us. Nehemiah, he had the burden. He went before the king as the butler. His job was to carry the wine into the king, and the king, he'd sample it in his presence to make sure nothing was wrong with it. He did the same for his food. Nehemiah served the king gladly, served him well. The king found favor with Nehemiah, and Nehemiah found favor with the king. And when he went before him, one day, and his countenance had changed. They would say, listen, if I've got to get up and tell you I'm under a burden, I ain't under no burden. Yeah, I believe it'll show up on mine, your countenance, when we get to the place where we're carrying a load, and we're carrying a load for others, and God knows exactly what that load is, and He knows how. Listen, He'll not put no more on you than you're able to bear. I realize that. But if me and you'll get under the burden, waste times that God will send somebody by to scotch our arms up while the battle is raging. Nehemiah had a burden for the people. He was concerned about what was going on with the Jews. Now, Artaxerxes was the king at this time, and some 18 years prior to this mention in the book of Nehemiah of the burden coming to him, you'll find that he let a preacher by the name of Ezra go back to Jerusalem, and they restored the temple so they'd have a place to worship. He was at the place as a Persian king and had taken over Babylon, and he had let some of these Jews go back, but he kept his hand upon them, kind of like where our government is headed today. But you can do certain things, but don't do a whole lot of it. it's crept into our churches also. I mean, you rejoice, but don't get real excited about your God. You sing, but don't sing real loud. I mean, you know how it bothers us when you get to singing loud and a rejoicing. I just don't go for that stuff. Well, God help you. If you ever get a hold of a little loud, you'll go with it, not far. But Nehemiah was permitted. He went before the king, and the king seen his countenance. And he told the king asked him what was wrong, and he told him his burden. But when he seen that it had broken the king down and the king's wife, he went a little further. He started petitioning the king for certain things that he needed to carry out the work of God. Now that'll get some of you fellers that won't take it from the world. But Nehemiah said, I need the lumber and I need certain things. And he gave him letters so he could get all this. He made a way for, I believe it was all the providence of God. In 14 years, I believe God was putting together a plan. He didn't have to wait that long, but he did wait that long. I'd never find in the Bible nowhere where Nehemiah went and formed him a building committee. That's straight out of hell. I mean, God gave the plan to Nehemiah, and the pastor ought to have the plan for the direction of the church. And so he gave it to him. Boy, I better get back up here. They're looking at me a little weird. But he didn't have to go before the brethren and say, what do you think about us doing it this way? If God said do it that way, that's exactly how it needs to be done. And so we find that when he went over to Jerusalem, that he was checking on the Jews, and the Bible says, if you'll study the book of Nehemiah, it was in a mess. I mean, the people were hurting. I said that to say this, we got people, Christian people today, that are hurting. I mean, a lot of people are not in the shape they're in because they want to be. And they're not looking for a handout, they're looking for a hand up. They're looking for somebody to help them and pray for them and get them to God. He's the one that's able today to help us. So Nehemiah is asking about the people. His burden was about the people. No doubt he had remembrance in his mind of how they used to worship inside those walls in Jerusalem. How they went to meeting there at that temple. How he could see his family rejoice over the things of God. He seen God sweep through like you and I do in places today. I believe we take too many things for granted. I never want to get away from the old time way of worship. I'm glad, thank God it's still just as real today. When I was a growing up, I didn't understand why Mama would shout like she did. I didn't know why they'd just break loose to singing while the preacher was a preaching. I didn't understand things like that. But then all of a sudden, when I got a little bit of what Mama had a whole lot of, bless God, it was more than Mama involved in it. Old time, old fashioned way of worship has just about gone by the wayside. We've learned how to do it. It won't work today. If it ever would work, it'll still work. If it ever was of God, it's still of God. And I'll assure you today, if you and I would get to the place to where we was burdened and broken for one another, listen, it's not, when a preacher falls by the wayside, it affects a whole ministry. It ought to break our heart. Was watching the news the other day, and they was talking about this politician that messed up, and they included everybody that comes under the party that he was in. Yes. And I got to thinking that's exactly how it is in the spiritual realm, Brother James. When a preacher messes up, he hurts everybody in the ministry. I've heard it said all my life, it ain't hurt nobody but me. I beg to differ with you. You'll hurt people for years to come. But we need to get under the burden for the people. Let me hurry. Nehemiah also had a burden for the place of worship. Two things. The people and the place. And they said, the walls are torn down. They're broken in pieces. And the gates are burned. In other words, they can come and go as they please. There's no way for us to protect ourselves. That's what those walls were for. It's for protection. Those gates for peace. When they got inside those walls, Brother Tim, those gates were shut. They knew they was in the ark of safety right there. And they could worship anyway. Boy, anybody that walks through those doors that's right with God, that serves God and tries to live for God, when they walk in this place, they ought to feel an ark of safety about them. That, hey, I've come to a place to worship. I'm at a place to where I'm at liberty to worship. But a lot of places you go to, you can't walk in and worship just any old way. They've got certain things that we do at certain times and don't interfere with our menu. But this Jerusalem was lying, the Bible says, in waste. One night, Nehemiah got up on his horse and went outside the city and just stood back and looked and seen how much ruin it was. A few years ago, I was driving a charter bus and I was coming out of Florida and I come up to Tifton, Georgia, and cut across on Highway 82 toward Auburn, Alabama. And I was running across 82 there, and it was about dusty dark. And within a mile, I passed three churches that had for sale signs in the yard. When I'm a big, nice brick church, and grass was probably waist high, no telling how long it had been sitting. And it broke my heart. I just thought, somewhere, somebody didn't get a hold of God. Somewhere, somebody lost their burden for the place. These buildings, these grounds do not take care of themselves. And we got people, I'm sure there's some in this church, and I love this church to death, but I'm sure there's some here. They never worry about whether the lights is on, whether the commodes are clean. You know, I worked in plumbing for 25 years and never set a self-cleaning commode. Never. They don't make them things. And some people could care less if the carpet's clean, if the trash is taken out. They don't care. But I'm glad they are some people, brother, that has concern and has a burden for the house of God and for the things around the house of God. They don't take care of themselves. God depends on people like you are to make sure everything's working at the house of God. And until we get a burden for the house of God, it's not going to grow. It's not going to do anything for God. Nehemiah had a burden for the place of worship. The people needed a place to come to. They get beat out in that world out there 5 and 6 days a week. They sure don't need to come to the house of God on Sunday and get beat again. They need a place to come to where they can worship and feel secure in what they do. If they're doing it for God, it'll be all right. If you've got to ask and you shout, just keep your mouth shut. There ain't nothing in that. If you got to act, oh God, I shouldn't be. You hear me tonight? I'm talking about having a burden for the house of God, having a burden for this meeting this week. I pray God break our heart that we get under the load. This ain't just one man's operation. It's going to take all of us pulling together. You remember when Moses went up on the mountain and he told Joshua to go to battle. And he said, I'll hold my arms up. And when I hold my arms up, you'll prevail. The Bible says he went up on the mountain and he'd hold his arms up and Joshua would prevail in the battle. But his arms would grow tired. He'd get weak. Have you ever tried to stand and hold your arms out? Oh, God. I dare say they ain't over two or three and hold them 5 minutes. Now, some of you bow and arrow engines can probably hold it a little longer because y'all setting them boxes up there and freeze to death and wait for the Bambi to come by sitting there and draw back. God help you. I knew you was. I knew I was getting you. But to hold your arms out, what's a tiring thing. And Moses stood there. And even though he was under the anointing of God and the leadership of God, Aaron and Hur, his brother-in-law, seen what was going on. His brother-in-law and his brother. And they went up. And for years, I looked at that scripture. And I thought they rolled a rock up and where his arms could rest on. But that's not what happened. They rolled a rock up so he could sit on that rock. And they stood there with his arms lifted up. It takes you and I getting under the load and helping this pastor this week. Hey, just cause he didn't ask us what we thought about who was coming don't mean he don't need help for other things. He had a burden for the place so these people could come to and worship and get fed. Let me say to you, preacher, as pastor, if you don't have a burden for your church, you ought to leave it and let somebody come in there and dust out one. You'd help yourself and them too. I wasn't planning on you getting an invitation to your place anyway, so I'd go ahead and say that. But I'm saying, God help us. God help us. God break our heart. I ain't asking to break your heart. I'm asking God to break my heart this week to help this church and help this pastor that this work might go on. Well, this is one of the greatest meetings in the South. And what an honor it is that God put it upon your pastor and this church to carry on this meeting. You'll never know how many people you're actually helping this week. Even though you may not see them, these men take this back and it helps them, it inspires them to keep on keeping on. That's what count meeting's all about. And God help us. God help us to get under the load this week, get under the burden this week with this church and this pastor and say, God, do something for her. Or him, he's needing some help. When they moved that rock up there, old Moses sat down. Leaned back on that rock, they held his arms up. And the Bible says, and Israel prevailed. You'll be surprised how much you'll win for God, how much you'll do for God when you'll start holding them hands up and waving them to God. Waving them to God. God help us. God help us to be brokenhearted. I'm going to quit, preacher. I've preached long enough on it. Give this preacher plenty of time. You come. I'm glad that God